Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
Covington playing Levine, topside three ball, bam! Onions, baby onions! Zach Levine in the Bulls!
Your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
Levine to White, this time he gives it to Williams for three.
The rookie! The Pulse! What a shot!
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
Jordan Malley. Jordan, great to see you. Through our 670 score scope. Yep.
Where is he?
And it's right over there, Bill.
Are you flat out kidding me?
Matt Peck used to do a great job with the Bulls Outsider Show. Now he's doing Locked On Bulls.
There he is, human floor burn.
Oh, don't mess with the Pooch.
But what's his crossover? Bulls bird of free league ghost.
Oh my goodness.
So kick back. I'm not. Relax. And get ready for the best hour of your day.
You can just see the vibe.
And these guys are men.
Locked On Bulls starts now.
I love it. Pass to Levine with a right-handed jackhammer slam. Oh, my goodness, that was filthy.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
I'm getting out the dancing shoes.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. I'm Jordan Malley. Along with me is Matt Peck. Follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Today's episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra. Michelob Ultra at only 2.6 carbs and 95 calories. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. Hit us up if you want to leave us a thought. 331-979-1369. Text, voicemails, all of that good stuff. Matt, quickly, how are you? How was the playoffs? Did you stay up to watch the game winner from LeBron?
You know it, man. What's up, Jordan? What's up, Bulls Nation? Really entertaining. We had some dud play-in action. Like that Pacers.
Oh, that first day was awful.
It's a joke. I was hoping for something better with Celtics Wizards. You know, thought maybe that the Wizards, the way they've been playing, would be able to get an upset. But, props to Tatum. He had a monster night. So we've got, Celtics set taking on Brooklyn. But obviously, Lakers-Warriors was the marquee matchup that everybody wanted to see. And, they delivered. It was Steph making haymaker threes in only the ways that he can. And then that desperation heave from LeBron. I mean, it's probably ridiculous. One of the 10 biggest shots he's ever made in his career. Like, yeah, it's only a play-in game, but, if they don't win that game, then they are one game away, one more loss away from not making the playoffs at all. Which obviously would be a huge disappointment for a team that has arguably two top five players on it. So, I mean, kudos to LeBron, man. Like, stones to hit a hell of a shot like that. And of course, he had to add in some of the theatrics on that foul also that happened late in the game where he was rolling around like he had both of his eyes stabbed out. You know me. I always got to get a jab in on LeBron and his flopping and his BS and his whining whenever I can.
It just backs up our theory from the other day where we were like, yep, or maybe it was last week when he just started talking about how much he hated the play-in and it was like, oh yeah, this is stupid, whoever's idea this was. Now he was laying the foundation last week. Now it's like, oh yeah, there we go, set up for a game winner. Now everybody's talking about me. I thought it was fun though. You're right. I was disappointed with the first day, and it's like somebody took the chip out of Russell Westbrook and put like half the size of a chip in there, and now he was out there like throwing passes to himself, and he just didn't look like he knew how to play basketball in that game. Combine that with Bradley Beal being in foul trouble, man. But more importantly, something that we kind of glossed over throughout this week, and it's been a busy week for the Bulls, is the Hall of Fame induction next year for one Tony Kukoc. I was telling you before we started, I don't remember Tony Kukoc playing. I don't have many fond memories. I remember highlights. You remember him playing. So as somebody who remembers him, part of growing up as well, part of the championship teams, any certain memory that sticks out to you? You think he's Hall of Fame worthy?
My first memories of Tony, other than shades of the 92, Olympics, where of course his Croatia team was probably the second or third best team in the Olympic basketball tournament behind obviously the Dream Team and the side plot lines with him and Michael and Scotty and Jerry Krause. But I think it was really, when he first arrived and the Bulls were without MJ and MJ was off playing baseball and I was like, wow. So this guy from over in Europe that has had all this hype, he can play. There weren't that many. Like when Tony came to the NBA, there had not been that many European players to make their impact on the NBA yet. He was certainly one of the first. And he was kind of one of the first also of his style. Because like Tony's 6'11", like almost a 7-footer who could not only shoot, but he could put the ball on the floor. He could distribute. He could drive. He could get to the rim. And it was like this weird Swiss Army knife kind of basketball player that you really hadn't seen much of before. And I think like iconic moments to me are his two buzzer beaters. I mean, one of them was a much bigger shot because it happened in the playoffs against New York. And that's the one where, you know, Phil draws up the play for Scott, for Tony. Scotty's pissed off about it. Scotty sits for the final play. He doesn't want in. Tony hits the buzzer beater. The Bulls win that game. But the other one against Indiana, where, dude, I hated Reggie Miller so much growing up. I hated him because he was good and he was deadly. And, you know, he talked a lot of trash and he puffed his chest out a lot. So that Bulls-Pacers game where Reggie hit a ridiculous Reggie shot and then came to center court and, like, took a bow and then turned and took a bow and turned and took a bow. And I was like, dude, fuck this, Reggie Miller. But there was still time on the clock. And lo and behold, pretty much the same play from the Bulls-Knicks playoff game, the same shot, you know, kind of high arcing inbound pass to Tony, who with his size is able to corral the inbounds pass, turn and fire, hits it. Oh, that one, I may have enjoyed that one even more because it was, he did it to Reggie and the Pacers, and I hated Reggie. And Reggie hitting a game winner against the Bulls just, ooh, it was always the worst. So those two shots, but man, that entire second three-peat, the Bulls don't win those second three titles without Tony easily.
I felt like he was portrayed differently than maybe some of the stories that I've been told over the last couple of days, just as I was asking people at the Score what they remember about whether they covered him or just fans growing up. And a lot of people said like there was a different side to him in like a fun, kind of goofy, offsetting, like different than the way that The Last Dance portrayed him. And I thought that was interesting because I felt like for the most part, The Last Dance, for me, it seemed like he was the character that was getting beat up and unfairly everything was against Tony. And all he did basically for the Bulls was deliver. So that's the way that I see him. But apparently he's got a very funny, goofy side to him. And I found out too that he played basketball left-handed, but he did everything else right-handed. I'm unique in that way too. I write left-handed, but do the majority of my stuff right-handed. So some cool things. Where do you think he ranks among, like, is he worthy, first of all, like as we look through his stats and everything, you think he's worthy of a Hall of Fame bid?
Absolutely. Somebody asked me recently, like right when the news broke that Tony was going to be in the next induction class, like, is Tony really deserving of Hall of Fame? And the short and simple answer is yeah. With the addendum of, guess what? It's not the NBA Hall of Fame. It's the Basketball Hall of Fame. And three rings and a Sixth Man of the Year award on a historically good 72-10 team might be close enough to get you there by itself. But I could understand that some people might say that sample size, that resume is not good enough for the Hall of Fame because you weren't the best player on a team that won three titles. You were a complimentary player. However, before he came to the Bulls, he has several EuroLeague titles, EuroLeague MVPs. He has a FIBA World Championship MVP. Like, the dude was a star overseas before he came to the NBA. And that's kind of what some Bulls fans, you know, don't remember. But it took convincing to get Tony to come, which at the time you'd think, like, why would you pass up the opportunity to play in the NBA, especially like right in that moment? The 92 Olympics happened and the world was obsessed with USA basketball and the Dream Team and MJ and his Bulls. So it was like, well, yeah, duh. Like, if the Bulls drafted you, get your butt over here and play. Why are you waiting? And the doc, you know, The Last Dance touched a little bit on that with Tony, who was at the time a very young father in a war-torn country and didn't want to up and leave. And he was making more money playing professionally in Europe than he would have on a rookie contract in the NBA. So you know, that whole thing of like, oh, come on, Tony, like, why are you dragging your feet? Get over here. I always thought that that was kind of bogus, that some Bulls fans took issue with that. But when you talk about his entire body of work and the resume that he was stacking up before he got to the Bulls in the NBA, hell yeah, he's Hall of Fame worthy.
It is cool, and like, we got to continue. At least me as a younger NBA fan, I got to continue to remind myself that, yes, it is the Basketball Hall of Fame, not the NBA Hall of Fame. Because I, like, just asking people, I'm like, what did you think of the reaction Tony Kukoc? Like, some diehard Bulls fans are like, oh, yeah, it's kind of a joke. They're letting everybody in now. But I think it's awesome as far as, like, trying to expand the game overall, letting an international committee vote players in, letting somebody from the media or multiple people from the media that cover basketball into the Hall of Fame. They've expanded that too. So I think people that maybe didn't get the recognition they deserved for accomplished careers, Kukoc being a good example of that, I think it's cool now that they were able to do that. It's too bad too. Like, my generation, Matt, I'm sure a lot of Bulls fans feel the same way. If you're not an international Bulls fan in your mid-20s, if you grew up here in the United States or around Chicago, I don't know how much you were exposed to Tony Kukoc or how good he was. So I'm glad The Last Dance gave me that reminder of it, too.
Yeah, and if anybody, you know, wants to hear more from Tony after getting inducted, he had a solid interview with, like, the entirety of the press via Zoom that's on YouTube that you can go find and watch and listen to. And he also did a one-on-one with Casey Johnson in one of the Bulls Talk podcasts recently. And they had a great convo because Casey was covering Tony and that Bulls team way back when. So, you know, Casey and Tony have a, you know, a rapport that goes back 20, 30 years. So it was great to hear them have a conversation and hear Tony talk about what the Hall meant to him. So go check those out if you want some more Tony Kukoc love.
With that, we should talk a little bit about, you briefly mentioned it when we were talking yesterday, but let's take a listen to the Zach Lowe and Woj thing, because I think there's at least a little bit of a conversation to start us and get us burning on the free agency stuff, at least yes, until it's open. I'm ready for rumor season.
First, before we get to that, and I can't wait to get to that, want to tell everybody about rockauto.com. Chain stores have different price tiers for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Rockauto.com's prices are the same for everyone and are reliably low. Rockauto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear, like airlines. RockAuto.com is for everybody and doesn't require membership or account login. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Be sure to write "Locked On" in their "How Did You Hear About Us" box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com.
So this is only a minute and a half, but there's a whole hell of a lot more in this than just 90 seconds worth of stuff. So I'm glad you pointed our attention to this because it's really good. I always like Zach Lowe and Woj talking back and forth too, because you get the inside angle from a news perspective, but you also get the analysis from Lowe himself. And Woj is a good guy too. Like, Woj is a good basketball mind as well. But let's take a listen to what they have to say about the Bulls, Lonzo Ball, and Spencer Dinwiddie.
Lonzo Ball, go.
Restricted free agency, the Bulls, there's a lot of interest there. That deal could have happened at the trade deadline. I think Lauri Markkanen, if Chicago is willing to maybe do more with draft, throwing a pick in, that deal might have happened then, but they had done the deal with Orlando. They had sent picks off in that, and they knew they had cap space. They knew they had the summer. But there'll be teams, you know, the point guard position, like, let's say we've got Chicago and we've got New York and we've got point guards, and we have a restricted free agent in Lonzo Ball. We have an unrestricted free agent in Dennis Schroeder, potentially with the Lakers. And so, you know, those and Spencer Dinwiddie, who is still out there, again, another very likely will be a free agent coming off the surgery. He's been working out. He's been back. He's back on the court. And so, but I think Ball in Chicago will be an interesting one to watch, and it'll be interesting to see what New Orleans does and how they structure, how they want to structure their payroll, how far they're willing to go on matching an offer sheet. Do they want to match it at all? But I think Lonzo will get a pretty good number. I think whether it's Chicago, whether it's New York, you know, some other places with younger point guards who might want to bring in a little more of a veteran.
So I'll say this, I didn't catch the Dennis Schroeder little drop in there too. He's also a name we haven't talked about. I like to call him Rondo Light because that is exactly what I think of him. Actually a better shooter than Rondo was, but the Lonzo thing, man, it's like I thought it was just our fan base for the most part, and like the trade deadline, I thought that was going to kill most of this like sort of buzz on him. I resorted to the fact that I didn't think that the Bulls were going to have enough money to be able to sign him to a long-term deal. It would kind of clog up everything else they want to do, but it seems like that is a top priority for this team. Now the question is that coming from the Bulls? Is that Woj's opinion, or is that coming from Lonzo again? Because we know Lonzo has said that he wants the two places he'd like to play in is Chicago or New York in the past.
Yeah, I think the Lonzo-Lowry swap opportunity is probably behind us. You know, Woj mentioned it there, and it was reported. It wasn't just rumors. It was reported that the Bulls and Pelicans had some talks, and those talks involved names, Lowry, Markkanen, and Lonzo Ball. So people thought, well, maybe they'll revisit that come offseason. I don't see it as super likely. I know Bulls fans have been really hyped and all aboard the Lonzo train since those rumors started swirling around, you know, almost a year ago. A couple of things could happen that I think are more likely than Lonzo coming here. Maybe Zion speaks up and says, hey, I like playing with Lonzo. Find a way to keep him here in New Orleans. And you gotta keep Zion happy, because that there's your franchise right there. Or Lonzo gets a ridiculous overvalued offer from some desperate team that the Bulls can't match or don't want to match. I think that either of those scenarios are more likely than Lonzo wearing a Bulls jersey next season. I also don't know if he's exactly what this team needs. That's perhaps a tangent conversation. What about you?
I think it's still interesting. It's about cost again, though. And I don't say that because I don't think he's not worth the money that maybe he's going to ask, $15, $20 million. I don't think that that's necessarily bad if you want to invest in his future. It just hamstrings what the Bulls want to do if your plan is focused solely around Zach LaVine and or Zach and Vooch. Like, that's my mindset as a fan, is I want the Bulls to build around Zach. I want the Bulls to build around Zach and Vooch and see what those two guys really give you. You're hamstrung if you spend $15 to $20 million or even $12 to $15 million on Lonzo, at least this season. I'm with you, though, too. I did find his comments very interesting, though, from his end-of-season press conference, when he said he liked being in that role of a 3-and-D type of player, and that's sort of what the Pelicans asked of him, especially when Zion was off the floor. Is like, shoot threes, see if you can get the ball to Zion, but for the most part, go use your above-average defensive skills, and that's what we really need. The Pelicans were awful on defense this entire season, so I'm with you. I just don't think it's in the cards, and I hate to say that, and people are not going to want to hear this. I think the Knicks might be a spot. That might be a spot for a team that was really good this year, looking to take another step forward and bring in a player that aligns with sort of their core as well. I mean, could you imagine the point guard skills with Lonzo and playing for Tibbs? I mean, Tibbs would get the absolute best out of him.
Yeah, he probably would. And obviously that's another likely candidate of a big market team, where Lonzo could go and be, you know, big Apple Lonzo. I'm sure that would make his dad beyond thrilled, because, you know, maybe they're still a little butthurt that the Lakers thing didn't work out.
Just real quick, just because we were talking about that, I don't remember him and Julius Randle's relationship, but I don't remember if those two played well together while they were with the Lakers or the Pelicans briefly. I don't remember.
I mean, I think kind of awkward sample size in different organizations, not a whole lot of shared time on the floor. Like, nothing immediately sticks out to me in my memory of watching them play together earlier in their NBA days, other than, like, you know, a couple glimpses, flashes of potential for each. But that's, I didn't even think about that angle about him potentially going to New York.
What about Spencer Dinwiddie?
Dinwiddie, I love. Honestly, that name to me is one that I might be more excited about than Lonzo Ball, which some people might say you're crazy. Obviously, coming off an injury is the big asterisk here and the big concern. And Bulls fans know all too well that there are risks involved with getting putting too much importance on your roster's success in players that have injury problems. But if this was just an injury that Dinwiddie comes back from and overcomes and puts it behind him, the way that Zach LaVine did with his ACL, the way that almost miraculously Kevin Durant did with the Achilles. I mean, look at what KD's doing this season. In 1920, for the Brooklyn Nets, Dinwiddie averaged 20.6 points and 6.8 assists per game. He also, which is one thing that AK said this team needs to do better, got to the free throw line pretty consistently, showed his ability to create contact, draw fouls while driving, while pump faking, and a career 80% free throw shooter was taking over 7 free throw attempts per game in that 1920 Brooklyn season where everybody was like, hey, check out Spencer Dinwiddie. I mean, 27 and 7 free throw attempts per game among that 20? I certainly would not turn my nose up at that. But like you said with Lonzo, with Dinwiddie, it might come down to price. And Lonzo doesn't have, you know, just coming off of a significant injury on his resume, you know, as we hit the free agency market this summer. So maybe you can get Dinwiddie for cheap because there aren't as many teams willing to, you know, roll the dice on him, so to speak. But what we saw from Dinwiddie before the injury, he looked like he was turning into an all-star, quasi-all-star caliber player.
Wasn't he the one that played with Patrick Williams, too, in, like, those series of pickups? Yep. And said how skilled he was and how ready for the NBA. Like, I don't think that those as throwaway comments either. And the one thing I will say, if they are truly interested in Spencer Dinwiddie and you are a little fearful about the injuries, LeVert, his injury, he bounced back and, if not better than he was when he hurt himself with Brooklyn. KD allowed them to do his whole training program, his process to getting back to. He looks even better than he did before. I'm glad that the Nets are taking care of that, and that wouldn't be something that the Bulls would have to take care of. I still just have, we have the worst luck with injuries this season too. That would be the only thing that I'm concerned with, but you do bring up a good point about his cost. Like, if all those other point guards just get paid an absorbent amount of money by other teams that need it, maybe he comes on the cheap, and maybe you do it even short-term. Maybe he takes a one-and-one and says, hey, You play into a contract long-term, see what we're doing with Zach and Vooch, and maybe we can make this thing work. I think that's a possibility.
And I mean, come on, Jordan, how beautifully perfect would it be if in the second season after their ousting, Gar and John have to watch Spencer Dinwiddie lead the Bulls back to the playoffs?
They got it right or wrong.
Twist the knife. God, that would make me so freaking happy.
Yeah, definitely right or wrong, man.
Absolutely. All right, we got one more thing on the to-do list for today's episode. It is a story of our coach and one of his old collegiate players. So you know I'm stoked for that, Jordan. First, though, quick shout out to our great friends at Built Bar. I recently just reached the end of my current inventory. I got to re-up because if I go a day without a Built Bar now, I start freaking out. That's how much I've become addicted to these things. Did you know Built Bar has 9 delicious flavors plus the occasional limited time flavors? There's something for everybody. Coconut almond, cherry or raspberry, if you like the fruit flavors. Mint brownie, peanut butter brownie, double chocolate, and salted caramel. If you haven't tried all the flavors, you can get a mixed box from BuiltBar.com where you get 2 of each of their 9 flavors. Not only are Built Bar flavors the best tasting, but they are healthy too. Most of these Built Bar flavors have 17 whole grams of protein, but only 130 calories, only 4 grams of sugar, and 4 grams of net carbs. So go to BuiltBar.com right now and use promo code LOCKED15, that's LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your next order. Again, promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com.
This episode is also brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline is your number one trusted place to place all of your bets. Last night was insane. If you bet on LeBron shooting threes, he was getting plus money at 2, 3, and 4 threes. The player props have been a lot of fun to bet on during these play-in games. I wasn't really sure, especially because the end of the NBA season is always really weird with lineups, and it can mess with props as well, but there's been a ton to choose from, whether it be three-pointers, rebounds, points, or you just want to bet on sides or the total, or whoever to win, you can do that at BetOnline. Go to BetOnline right now, sign up for a free account, and make sure you use the promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus. So if you deposit $100, they're going to give you $50 for free. If you deposit $500, they're going to give you $250 free. Make sure when you sign up with an account, use the promo code LOCKEDON for the 50% welcome bonus. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, yeah, just to kind of wrap up this episode, this is something that we didn't get to play at like the wrap-up of the Bulls' entire season. Billy Donovan was on The Score with the morning show Mully and Haw, and he finished his interview, which I thought was pretty solid, man. He finished his interview with a really cool Joakim Noah story and like why he always admired Joakim from the starts, and it all goes back to a certain clothing rep. Just take a listen.
We have really good guys and really good people in this organization, and that I feel very, very confident and have great belief in that part of it. But to sit there and say, hey, we're a playoff team next year, we have to earn our way in there, you know? And I've never, you know, I'll give you a great story on Joakim Noah, and everybody knows Joakim real well. Nike came into Florida when Joakim was a sophomore, and we were like the number one team in the country. And it was pretty clear we were going to go to the NCAA tournament. And Nike came in, and they wanted to do different kind of uniforms for the NCAA tournament for different teams. And we were one of the schools that was picked to do that. And I really, to be honest with you, didn't care about the uniforms. The players that got to wear them, I wanted them to be comfortable. So I was in there with Al Horford and Corey Brewer and Joakim and Torian Green. And the Nike rep, and this was probably like in February, and the Nike rep comes in and starts talking about what they want us to wear during the NCAA tournament. And Joakim looked at the rep and says, how do you even know we're going to get to the NCAA tournament? Like, why are you coming in here talking about that? We're not even at that point right now. And he didn't want to talk about it. And I had great respect for him, because sometimes you want to project where somebody's going to be or where we're going to be a year from now. I have no idea. That's why we're going to play the games. But there's a lot of areas we've got to get better at. And if we don't put the work in to get better, then it's not going to happen. Now, I believe in the group in terms of the character of the people and them hopefully being incredibly motivated coming back next year. But I don't want to forecast, because I don't know what the future is. And that's why, you know, they keep score, and that's why it's a competitive situation. So I do believe in this group. I do love being around these guys. They were wonderful to work with, but we have to get better, and we have to get a lot better. And we got to get better competitively. We got to get better in terms of our turnovers. We got to get better in our fouling. We got to get better defense. We have to get better. Now, do I believe they can get better? Absolutely. But we have to do it. And I don't want to sit there and say, hey, this is this, this is that. This is where we need to put the work in. And I think, like Arturo said, and I agree with this statement 1,000%, we can't skip step. You know, what do we do the first day of training camp? How do we operate in the summer? How much improvement are we going to make? What kind of work are we going to put in? Because if we don't do that, we can't expect to get the results that we want.
It's a great
because
story.
That's the mentality you want your players to have. You know, Joe Kim's thing is, hey, we're in February right now. We got a game here on Saturday. Not worried about the NCAA tournament. We got to earn our way into the NCAA tournament. We're not in the NCAA tournament. No one selected us to the tournament, and you're coming in here talking about the tournament. You know, and he's exactly right. You know, and that's the mentality you have to have. You have to win every day. You know, you have to win every day. And you know, you're blessed and given the opportunity of 24 hours in a day. What are you going to do with that? If you're going to sit there and keep looking down, and I think so much in life, we all do this. We're worried about the future, or we're dwelling on what happened in the past, and we forget to live what's going on today. How do we handle today and get better today?
That's a fucking awesome story, man. And it honestly encapsulates a lot of the core issues with this Bulls team, not X's and O's wise, but just like mentally, like guys thinking too far ahead into the future or overanalyzing what they're doing or just not having any confidence in themselves. But to tell a Nike rep, like, get the fuck out of here. Like, get out of here. Like, why are you showing us NCAA tournament? That is fucking awesome, man. I mean, he is true to his core. Have you heard that story before? I don't think I have.
I had never heard that story before. That is awesome. Awesome stuff from Billy Donovan. It is not surprising. Doesn't that seem like something that is totally in line with Joakim's character as far as Bulls fans came to know him? I'm concerned about, you know, 94 feet, the parameters of this basketball court and winning this game today, right now. That's what matters. Anything off the court, you know, endorsement deals or Nike shoes about, oh, hey, well, this is around the corner. Let's start talking about this because it's around the corner. To hell with that. Let's live in the now. Let's work hard in the now, and let's get a W in the now. That is absolutely quintessentially what Joakim always was and was about. And it kind of reminds me of the whole theme of the, you know, concluding moments of The Last Dance doc. Because you know who else was obsessed with living in the now and winning in the now? Michael Jordan. That dude, that especially the final, the Last Dance, the 97-98 season, every night, every city he went to, mobbed by media. What are you going to do? What's coming up next? What does your future hold? And MJ said, you want to talk about tonight's game? Because that's what I want to talk about. That, I mean, and the Eddie Vedder song, right? Live in the present tense. And that being the way that we you know, say farewell to that documentary and that story. Joakim is a live in the present tense kind of dude. So it's awesome to hear that kind of story from Billy Donovan.
I think something else that maybe I'm just drawing this conclusion, so maybe I'm late to the party on it, but Billy Donovan's judgment of character of guys and the guys that he wants to build teams around, I think is very good. There's a lot of examples, even going back to his college days, and the way he's able to mold guys too. They all think similarly to him, and they all have the same type of mindset. And I'm thinking about guys like Al Horford too, thinking about Bradley Beal. All of those guys have sort of that dog mentality, right? They've been in weird situations throughout the NBA, but they all are talked about in the same similar light. I think it's cool, and Bulls fans should be excited about that too, is like, if he's got great judgment of character, and there's a ton of examples to back that up, even coaching throughout the NBA, and he's proven results, I think anybody that might hear some of the coach speak that he likes to do and think sort of it's fake, I think we're blessed to have a guy like that. And if you're looking for positives, there's a positive. He's got a bunch of connections around, and he's molded guys like that. So I'm very confident what he's going to be able to do with this team. It's only been year one, but to hear him talk about Joe that way is awesome. Is there any chance Joe could become a coach for the Bulls?
Player coach. You know, he's, dude,
Do the Haslam thing.
Yeah, man. I mean, I would obviously love that. You know me and my obsession with Joakim. I am happy for him because he appears to be living his best life right now on, you know, living in mansions on various beaches with his beautiful family.
Seriously.
His Victoria's Secret angel wife, like hanging out on yachts. Like, dude, Joakim, do your thing, baby. Do your thing. But I mean, and then just as far as what Billy Donovan is saying, using that story as a parallel to what the Bulls are dealing with now, we just finished out season one. We're disappointed in where we finished. Now we got to look ahead to what, you know, what do we do better next season? What do we do differently? And maybe he was kind of talking about the focus on the now that Joakim had that he saw as something that was lacking from this team this season. And you know, we went over it right after the Bulls season concluded on this podcast, the number of games that they let slip through their fingers. The, you know, win now mentality, that kind of stuff that Joakim always certainly had. How many games did Joakim clinch for the Bulls, regular season or playoffs? Not because he hit a big shot, and maybe sometimes he had big buckets, obviously, you know, like game six Boston, but because of a big play. Where he was in the now, he was focused on winning that moment. And how many times have we watched the Bulls mindless, careless, turnover, bad shot, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, as we are watching them cough up another game they should probably win? So to hear Billy Donovan tell that story to say, this is what we got to do better, I think was really smart of him to do.
What I took away too was it's like you can't just say you're about it. You can't just say you're about the work. You have to actually put in the work. Like saying it is one thing, backing it up is another, but also too, you don't necessarily need to always say that. You don't need to always say those things. Just go out there and let the work show what you can do. And I think it's a new era of basketball with guys that they learn differently. They communicate differently than they did 10 or 15 years ago or 20 years ago. Things are different now. I'm glad that Billy Donovan is going to be the guy to lead some of these young players into the next step of what Bulls basketball becomes. I think Bulls fans should be very excited about it too. And we'll see what the additions are going to be, man. I want people's thoughts, though. Whether you want to give us a Tony Kukoc thought, maybe favorite memory, especially for our international listeners out there, text, email, call, tweet, any of that. You want to give a Tony Kukoc your thoughts on him going to the Hall of Fame? You want to Give us a voicemail, text messages on any of the rumors that we sort of talked about, whether it be Dinwiddie, Schroeder, Ball. 331-979-1369 is the place to do that. We're on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Again, 331-979-1369 for your voicemails and text messages. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley. Bulls Nation, have a wonderful day. Be back tomorrow with a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
Thanks a lot.